Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shall we pray? Father, this evening, when as we are in your presence, O Lord, I pray, Father, you would speak to us. O Father, speak to us. Let your life flow into us through your word. For you said your words are life and spirit. We need that life. We need your life. More and more of your life, O Lord. Even this evening, Lord, let there be an impartation of your life through the ministry of your word. Speak to us. Speak to us, O Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been looking at how to be filled, how to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's what we've been looking at for weeks. And we continue our study of the work of the Holy Spirit. Remember the presence and the work of the Holy Spirit is much more clearer in the New Testament than in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, it's broadly divided into gifts and fruit. As the gifts and fruit. In the operation of the gifts, the presence of the Holy Spirit can be there without a corresponding result in the fruit. There can be an incredible demonstration of the power of God. That doesn't mean necessarily there is a corresponding result in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, we see this often. But what is so incredible about Moses, all those incredible signs that God did through him in Egypt and in the wilderness was done by the Holy Spirit. But what is incredible about Moses was not the work, that the gift of the Holy Spirit that manifested. It is a statement God makes about Moses in Numbers 12 and verse 3. Chapter 12 and verse 3. He said, of all the people on earth, Moses was the humblest of them all. Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. Now in the flesh, this is practically impossible. If any man did even a fraction of that work which Moses did, to remain humble is practically impossible. But no man did the work which God did through Moses in the Old Testament. And no man manifested the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament like Moses did. Now this is God saying about Moses. What does he say? He says he was the humblest man on the face of earth. Now if you look at Hebrews chapter 3, and you look at and verse 2, Scripture says in Hebrews 3 verse 2, Moses was faithful in all the house of God. Now this is the testimony God is looking for. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, Colossians 1 verse 10, Now here if you look at verse 10, first there is a walk. This is a walk fully pleasing. And then it says, bearing fruit in every good work. It is not enough to work. Scripture talks about being fruitful in our work. And then it says increasing in the knowledge of God. They go together. God says there is a walk. And if that walk is fully pleasing before God, then there is a work. And that work has to be fruitful. And then we increase in the knowledge of God. This is what God was telling Abraham. Walk before me. And when Abraham's walk became pleasing in the sight of God, then his work also became fruitful before God. And Abraham started increasing in the knowledge of God. Scripture is telling us here, we are looking here in terms about fruitfulness. Because we said there are two aspects of the work of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Here Colossians 1 talks about being fruitful in every good work. Now there is a difference between work and fruit. You know there's a difference between work and fruit. We have many machines that do work. If you want to wash clothes, you can put it into a washing machine. If you want to heat, you can put it in a microwave. If you want to make a cake, you can put it in an oven. The machine can do lots of work, but no machine can bear fruit. Machine cannot bear fruit. Even while working, the nature of the machine remains unchanged. It will always remain a machine. But God did not create us primarily to work. God created us to bear fruit. He created us first and then He redeemed us to bear fruit. In the Garden of Eden, in chapter 2 and verse 15, you will see it was God who ordained work. He is the one who ordained work. But they were not created to work. They were created so that they would bear fruit. And you will see immediately after the fall, the fruit changes. They are afraid. They are ashamed. They start blaming each other. The fruit of their work has completely changed. And you know what Genesis 3 verse 23 says? He sent them outside the garden because the fruit of their work was not acceptable in the garden. Outside also they had to work. But the fruit of their work had changed so badly after the fall, they were sent out to work. Work always implies there is effort and there is labor. There is no guarantee of fruit. Example. Think about an apple tree. You can dig. You can manure. You can water. You can put pesticide. You can prune. But there is one thing you and I cannot do, is you cannot make the apple tree produce apples. You cannot. Unless the life of the apple tree is not there, it cannot produce apples. Remember, work doesn't produce fruit. It's the life of Jesus Christ, the life of the Holy Spirit, that produces the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The law can make you work. The law of Moses makes you work. Stops you from doing bad works, makes you do good works, but the law can never produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Getting the picture? If we understand this, that it is fruit that matters, and that is what God is looking for. Well, work is what man is looking for. When you go to your company, they are looking for work. When you go to God, He is looking for fruit. So God says, you need to work, but be careful that you are fruitful in every good work. And Jesus puts it most beautifully in John chapter 15. And I want you to turn to John chapter 15. We looked at parts of it some time back. The first verse he says is this: I am the true vine. You know what the book of Colossians says? Everything that we see is just a shadow. The real thing is Jesus. The substance is Jesus. Everything that we experience are all shadows. But the real thing is Jesus. Jesus is saying the same thing here. There are plenty of wines. But he says, I am the true wine. They are all copies. But he says, the true wine, he says, is he himself. And then he says, the Father is the gardener. The wine dressers, the Father is the gardener. And what are we? He says, we are the branches. We are the branches. Now, if we get that three aspects, understand that three aspects, believe in these three aspects, and walk in that three aspects, actually a lot of issues in our lives will be solved. What is the first thing? The Father is the gardener. Jesus is the wine. I am the branch. First thing I need to know is this. It is very difficult. I am a branch. I am only a branch. I am not the vine. I am not the gardener. I am only a branch. Meaning, outside the vine, I have no existence. If I am detached from the vine, I have no existence. It's very difficult for us. Because we think we are the gardener. When we go to work, we think we are the vine. When we come home, we think we are the gardener. But God says you are just a branch. That I exist because of Him. Outside of the vine, the branches have no meaning at all. Absolutely no meaning. The glory of the gardener is the vine. The glory of the vine is the branches. And the glory of the branches is the fruit. And if there is no fruit, then the branches have no glory at all. When I bear fruit, both the vine and the gardener are glorified. If I don't bear fruit, neither the vine nor the gardener is glorified. Now you can take a branch, you can tie balloons to it. You can tie silver paper to it. You can do lots of things. It neither glorifies the vine nor glorifies the gardener. The only thing that will bring glory to the vine and to the gardener is fruit. So the question God asks us is this. Are we bearing fruit? Are we bearing fruit? And if we don't bear fruit, God says, you still are missing the purpose. And the first thing Jesus tells us is this. All that a vine will be to the gardener, will the branch be to the vine. So Jesus says, I became the true vine so that you and I could become the true branches. The wine is entirely dependent upon the gardener. Like Alwal, if you go over there, you will see the vineyard, they have started replanting again. They decide where it is going to be planted. They decide what manure needs to be put. They decide how much watering has to be done. Wine is entirely dependent upon the gardener. For its life, for its nurture, and for its protection. So you will see they have put fencing all around. When Jesus came, you know what he said? He said the Son cannot do anything on himself. He said, I'm entirely dependent upon the Father. So Jesus is first telling us, lift up your eyes, branches, and see, the gardener is your Father. Or the Father is your gardener. And he says, as I was entirely dependent upon my Father, and because I trusted my Father, I could do everything he asked me to do, even enter death and the grave, and my Father lifted me up on the third day. Because he knew his Father was the gardener. And he knew 2000 years ago he was planted on earth for a purpose. And the purpose was not his purpose. The purpose was not defined by us. The purpose was defined by God. The purpose was defined by his Father. You know, today is Tuesday. All around the Jewish world, today is Passover. 2000 years ago, it was on a Passover, Jesus became the Passover lamb. And he knew this was the Father's purpose. He knew he was the wine, and his Father was the gardener. And for this purpose he was planted. And that's what he is telling us first. If I am the true vine, then you are the true branches. Look at the gardener. Remember, he defines the purpose. My glory was to glorify the Father. Your glory is to glorify me. Because when you glorify me, you glorify the Father. A branch doesn't have a life of its own. Remember that. Always remember. In John chapter 15, in verse 2, he will talk about fruit. In the same verse, he will talk about more fruit. In verse 8, he will talk about much fruit. Three categories. He says, if you are a branch, you have to bear fruit. You have to bear fruit. That is the purpose of the branch. The purpose of the branch is to bear fruit. And if you bear fruit, then the Father will start pruning you so that you bear more fruit. And he says, if you bear more fruit, it would be good that we bear much fruit for the Father's glory. Remember, weeks back we said we are not natural branches. We are grafted branches. We were grafted into Jesus Christ. And like I said, the branch exists for only one purpose. Not to bear fruit which I like. To bear fruit what the gardener likes. And the gardener knows this very well. It can come only from the true vine. When I was grafted, my old nature was completely different. Completely different. The nature of the vine was completely different. And if you notice, at the point where you are joined, you are tied with a bandage. You notice how grafting takes place? The only way we know grafting is successful first, the old little leaves and all in the old part will start dying. It has to die. Because that is my old life. But new life has to come. That new life comes from the true vine. That is how you will know one, grafting is successful. If grafting is not successful, you know what happens? After some time this falls off. This cloth will decay, it will fall apart, and this branch also will fall apart. But if the branch has grafted, this cloth will come off, but you are still staying there. You know what this cloth is? For children, your parents, your pastor, everybody who will say go to church. But after some time you will grow up. And if you are grafted, you don't need anybody to tell you. You know the very life of God takes you where His life is. But for a season we have to be held together until we are grafted. For a season we have to be. But how do we know we have been grafted? Because the life of Christ starts becoming our life. So we know Jesus woke up in the morning when He was the true vine on earth. He prayed. He studied the word. He obeyed the Father. And we slowly see that it becomes our life. Now we are not doing it because somebody said. It has become part of our own life. Now His life is flowing into us. And scripture says that life has to increase. Remember, it is the wine that produces the sap. The branch has no life. The life has to come from this sap. And that's what Jesus is saying. In me, in you, there is no life. Arthi, there is no life. In me, in you, there is no life. Okay, remember, students, remember, look at the teacher. Think this is a classroom. Before I started preaching, I was a classroom teacher and I could pick up any student who was not listening. They know in GTC. They know it very well. Whether it's 25 or 100, you can pick up any student who is not little bit. So keep your eyes. Children, always keep your eyes on the teacher, okay? And teachers also know how to look straight into the eyes and know when they are looking and not listening. That also teachers know. Because your pupils, if they are like a pinpoint, that means you are not listening. Just have to look at the pupils. If it becomes a small pin, that means your ear is somewhere else. So you have to listen. That's why Jesus said about the eyes. He said, wash the eyes. The eyes will show the light inside. So we always look at the eyes. Eyes will tell you where your mind is. So the only way grafting is successful, when the life of Christ starts flowing in. The question is this: how do I know the life of the vine? How do I know the life of Christ? Here is this vine. Here is this branch. How do we know the life of the vine is successful? It is not in the branch. It is not in the leaves. It is in the grapes. The only way to know it is successful is when the fruit of the Holy Spirit is shown. And Jesus always says, I come looking for fruit. He is not looking at our works. He is not looking at our acts. He is always looking for fruit. And my strength lies in this first. Am I attached to the vine? How well have I grafted? How well have I grafted? Without that cloth, will I stay? That is why I tell parents, once the children have grown, you know they have grown, slowly untie them and see whether they will see God on their own. How long will you tie them and drag them to church? Force them to read the Bible. Force them to pray. Force them to sing. It will not work. That means they are disconnected. But if they are connected, it has to come on their own. We can only tie for a season. After that we have to untie and leave it to God and them. But we as parents, we are connected in our prayer room and we keep praying, Lord, one day this child will get grafted to you. That is the ministry of the parents. That is what Paul is saying. Oh Timothy, the faith that was in your grandmother and the mother has passed on to you. It has passed on to you. Scripture doesn't say Timothy used to pray with his grandmother. Scripture doesn't say it was his mother who made him pray. But all of them influenced him. But when did that life become his life? When Paul came into Timothy's life. Paul was the person God used to bring Timothy to Christ. But he saw that first in his grandmother. and his mother. So those were the cloths. But one day it was removed. But God used another servant to graft Timothy into the wife. The question we have to ask is this: if the cloth is removed, will we stay? Sometimes God in His mercy, knowing if He removes the cloth, we will fall off. So He ties us tightly. That is why some people troubles never leave their life. Because samasya goes, they will stop praying. Samasya goes, they will never come back to church. Samasya goes, they will never read their Bible. So God uses samasya as a cloth to bind them to Him. The day they are grafted in and life starts flowing, God will also start removing the samasya out of their life. Because He says, now I don't need that. You don't need that anymore. You are grafted in. That's why we have to ask ourselves this question. What all does God have to do in my life to keep Him close to Him? What does He have to do? Day and night, if the branch is grafted to the vine, scripture says, then my dependence upon God has increased. Now think for a moment. If this is the branch and this is the vine, what does the branch have? It has nothing. It's entirely dependent upon the vine. So what does the branch first have to do? It has to rest in the vine. Rest in the vine. But the old nature says, oh, you have to work. God says, no, you don't have to work. God says, you have to rest. The old nature says, no, you have to work. God says, you cannot work. Because you have nothing to work. Your work will never please me. All your work is like filthy rags before me. Rest in me. It's very difficult for us. You know what Hebrews 4:11 says? 4 and verse 11. You know what scripture says? You have to labor to enter that rest. Have you ever heard about working to rest? You know what it is? Simple example is this. Take a 4-year-old or 5-year-old boy and tell him to sit still. How long can you make him sit still? He acts as there is ants all around. Sit still. They will not sit still. What are you trying to tell him? Go to sleep. Will he sleep? He has to labor to sleep. He will turn this side. He will turn that side. He will say, I am thirsty. Can I have some water? What are you trying to do? Make him rest. God says that is the old nature. I tell you, first rest in me. It's very difficult. He says you will have to labor first to rest. I have to force myself to be still. My mind to be still. My will to be still. My emotions to be still. My body to be still. It's very difficult. You know how difficult it is? Let the vine decide what the branch should do. This is what Jesus is actually telling. You want to produce fruit? Remember, your father is the gardener. I am the vine. You are the branch. The first job of the branch is to rest. Is not to work. Is to rest. So that life can flow. When life flows, then it is the work of the Spirit that you will do. But because we are what? Living branches. We, our minds are anxious. Think about this. Now, as some church finishes, as you are going, immediately you get a call. One big problem. What are you going to do? The mind is very active. The emotions are very active. The will is very active. Now the body wants to do something. You know what God says? The first thing is, come to me. But usually, after we have done everything and it fails, then finally we go to God. By then we have done 100 stupid things. That's why God says, learn and learn to labor into enter into my rest. For that, what should I do? I have to learn up every day morning. I am not the gardener. I am not the vine. I am just a branch. Just a branch. Entirely dependent upon the vine. Entirely dependent upon the gardener. You know, in the flesh, it is so difficult to accept that you are just a branch. Even when you finally accept, okay, I am a branch, but I am a special branch. God says no. You are not a special branch. You are just a branch. Like every other branch. Every branch, the purpose is only one. Bear fruit. Same fruit. It is not that you have a vine and you have 10 branches and he expects 10 different fruits from it. That is why the fruit of the Holy Spirit is called the fruit of the Holy Spirit, not fruits of the Holy Spirit. It is not called fruits. He says, every one of us who has been grafted into the true vine called Jesus Christ has to produce the same fruit. And that is the first thing we need to realize. My purpose is to bear fruit. It is not anything else. You know, if we find that, our entire attitude to life will change. The world is impressed by my works. My congregation is impressed by my preaching. God is not impressed by any of these things. He says, James, when I come into your life, I look only for fruit.
Why?
You getting the picture? You need to understand this thing. No branch bears fruit for itself. The branch bears fruit for whom? For the gardener. He will decide whether he eats it, his wife eats it, his children eats it, or whether he sells it in the market. If the branch bears fruit for itself, either birds will come and eat it, or it will rot and fall to the ground. Remember, we bear fruit to the Father. I, you know what? I have borne fruit. And I am satisfied by my fruit. God says no. That is how Jesus talked about another parable. He said there is a master. And the servant has been working. And the master comes in the evening. And the servant says, oh, I worked the whole day. He said no. He has to now feed the master. And after feeding the master, can the servant wait? Why is the master not saying a thank you? The master doesn't have to say thank you. Why? Because the purpose of the servant is to bear fruit. When you go to your company, and the company says work from 8 to 5, at 5 o'clock, says thank you very much for working. No, the company says your purpose is to work that 8 hours. And God says, your and my purpose is to bear fruit. So when we bear fruit, don't wait for God to come and say a thank you. The pastor to come and says great work. No, our very purpose for being grafted is to bear fruit. And like I said, the branch bears the fruit to the gardener. If you do not understand this and receive this, you know what will happen? We will live our life before people and not before God. Now, so you know what happens? If you take a branch, this is the branch, and this little one comes and somebody puts a ribbon, and the one puts a balloon, and the one puts silver paper, all of them will come and say, wow, what a beautiful branch. Except the gardener. You know what the gardener says? He'll come and pull all that off. Says, that is not the purpose of the branch. The purpose of the branch is to bear fruit to me. People may be very impressed by our work. It is irrelevant. When Jesus comes, when the gardener comes, he says, I have come to see whether you have borne fruit. I'm not talking about time here. But in scripture you will see always connected with tree and fruit, 3 years is mentioned. God says by the third year you better bear fruit. Are you getting the picture? When will we start bearing fruit? When we are grafted and the life of Jesus start flowing through. If the life of Jesus flows, the life of Jesus always produces fruit. Now ask this question. In 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 4, what is the purpose of all the promises in the Bible? What is the purpose?
Amen. ద్రాక్షను అనుసరించిన లోకమును భ్రష్టత్వము ఈ వాగ్దాన మార్గం తప్పించుకుని దేవ స్వభావాన్ని సాధివదన్నట్టు.
Did you see that? What's the purpose of all the prophets? My words are life and spirit. God says all the promises in the Bible is the life of the Holy Spirit. When it flows, happens, you partake of the divine nature. The very life of God. The old nature will die. The new nature will come. How do we know? The fruit of the Spirit will be manifested. More and more. The old nature was there. Galatians 5:9, we don't have to turn. 5:19 will give you a list of the old nature. And Galatians 5:22 onwards will give you the list of the new fruit. And God says, through the promises in the Bible, the life of God should flow into us. We all make this mistake. We think salvation is the most important thing. Salvation is my purpose. My life is my purpose. My family is my purpose. My church is my purpose. God says, understand this. Your primary purpose is to bear fruit. First purpose in life, the purpose of salvation is to bear fruit. And to bear fruit, I need to be attached to Jesus Christ. Then only the Holy Spirit will flow. Let us think as God thinks. As Jesus thinks. The one assurance I have is this. I produce fruit. If I produce fruit, then I know I am abiding. And we all know this. Are we more loving today than we were 2 years ago? Are we more patient today than we were before? Look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Starts with love and ends with some self-control. And God is asking, has this increased? Or is it still the same? If it is still the same, then God says, the life is not flowing. My life hasn't become your life. You still your life. Let's go back to John 15. It's very, very important. Because we need to understand what is the purpose. What is the purpose? Because there is a danger. There is a danger of this. If you don't understand purpose, I can look at my works and I can be absolutely content. And Jesus said, many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, look at my works. I did this. What did God say? I do not know you. Why? Because when he looked, he saw no fruit. He saw a lot of works. But he saw no fruit. He said, you did all this work. But I wasn't looking for work. I was looking for fruit. You did not abide in me. He says, if you abide in me, you would bear much fruit. If you turn with me to Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Yeah. Verse 1 to 4. What does he say? I like your kriya. Your kriya is all good. When he comes to verse 4, he says, but I got a big problem with you. When I look for fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit begins with what? With what? He says, I see no love. And what does he say? Because I don't see that, I will remove my lampstand away. I will take it away. All your work is irrelevant in the light of the fact that there is no fruit. That is what destroyed the church of Ephesus. Ephesus was destroyed not because the works were not good. Ephesus was destroyed because the fruit they lost. Scripture says, what does it say? You left. What does it say there? Verse 4, what does it say? Where you left, right? Where you left, you left that somewhere. You left it somewhere. He says, you can do all these works, but you left that fruit. Because now you are not abiding in me. You are now living your own life. Now you are doing religion. You are doing the works of religion. The life of Christ is gone. The life of Christ is first manifested in love. And he said, you left it. You left it. He said, go back and find it. Otherwise, he's telling the church at Ephesus what Jesus told in John 4:15. If you don't bear fruit, what will my Father do? I will break it. And I will throw it off. What happened to the church of Laodicea? Laodicea was very content. What did they say? Look at what Laodicean church said. In verse 17, chapter 3, verse 17. They looked at all their riches and accomplishments and thought that was the fruit. They thought that was the fruit. God said, that's not what I came to look for. He says, if all your possessions are your fruit, you are the most poor person on earth. He said, you are poor, you are wretched, you are naked, you are miserable. Laodicean church was content in what they thought was the fruit. You know what Jesus says? In verse 16, I am at the verge of spitting you out, meaning at the verge of breaking you away. You're getting the picture? That's what God is talking about. God says, are we attached? Are we attached to the vine? How are we attached to the vine? We are attached to the vine by faith. That's why we talk about walking by faith. We are attached to Christ Jesus by faith. But if our faith is true, what does Galatians 5:6 say?
యేసుక్రీస్తులు ఉన్న వారికి సున్నతి పొందటేమీ లేదు, పొందకపోతే ఏమీ లేదు, కానీ ప్రేమ వలన కార్య సాధకము విశ్వాసమే ప్రయోజనకరమగును.
He says neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. It is faith that works through love.
సున్నతి పొందడం సున్నతి పొందకపోవడం అనేది ప్రాముఖ్యం కాదు, కానీ అది ప్రేమ వలన కార్య సాధకమైన విశ్వాసము.
It is not enough that you are attached by faith.
మరి విశ్వాసమును బట్టి నువ్వు అటకట్టినట్లు సరిపోదు.
Your works of faith has to be worked in love.
అయితే నీ యొక్క విశ్వాస క్రియలు కూడా అది ప్రేమపూర్వకంగా నెరవేర్చుకోవాలి.
You know what in John 15 Jesus says?
Abide
in me and I will abide in you. Abide in me and abide in
me.
Now you look at where that word abide is again used in Psalm 91 and verse 1. And then we will close. I want you to look at Psalm 91 and verse 1. What does it say? He who dwells in the secret, in the shelter of the Most High, shadow of the Almighty, right? Abide in the shadow. We are looking at, I want to abide there, Lord. But God says that is only possible if you are finding shelter in the secret place. Is that what is written in your Bible? Could you read that for me, your version? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now we all will look. I wish I knew where this secret place was. Do you know Jesus himself told us where is the secret place? That anybody sitting here, doesn't matter from the youngest to the oldest, can find the secret place. The secret place is not a secret place. He has told us where the secret place is. Now you read Matthew 6:6. Oh, could you read that in English?
When you pray, go into your home, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place.
Your Father who is in the secret place?
And your Father who sees
in the secret place.
He who sees you in the secret, so now he is in the secret place, you are in the secret place and he sees you. Do you understand this? This is where God is not looking at our public performance first. He never looks at that first. First thing he looks at is that secret part of our life. And there is no age limit there. Whether you are small, whether you are old, if you enter into that secret place, only you know, and he knows, you have your time with him, that's the secret place. That is where life flows. That is where his life begins. His life doesn't begin in the church. This is a public place. His life doesn't begin in the office. It's a public place. His life begins in the secret place. Because when you enter into that small room, or wherever you are alone, I know for many mothers, it is the bathroom. Because that's the only place where the children will leave them alone. Even there, they will be sitting outside and knocking. That's your secret place. You know when you shut the door, you are there to meet somebody else. God says, I in the secret place, you in the secret place, this both has become our secret place. I will talk to you. I will talk to you issues of life. And you start dealing with that, my life starts flowing. And as life starts flowing, you will bear fruit. Those who do not have a secret place, under him. And if I don't abide in him, I can bear fruit. But he said, you will bear more fruit. I will prune you. And as I prune you, you will bear even much fruit. And he said, it is to the glory of the Father to bear much fruit. This is the secret of the secret place. Little boy in the Old Testament called Samuel, he had seen his mother in the secret, and when the mother left him in the temple under the secret place, one day when he is in the secret place, he alone heard the voice of the gardener, Samuel, Samuel. Age is no issue here. Anna in the New Testament, Simeon in the New Testament, because they were in the secret place, heard the voice of the Holy Spirit and told them, go into the temple, because the Messiah has come. Because when you are in the secret place, you hear. But it is our choice. It's our choice. No one can push a secret place. It is no longer a secret place. It is a public place. If your father says, your mother says, go take a Bible, pray, the secret place. Why? Because you know, your mother knows, all who heard knows. So how is it secret? The public place. Secret place is when it is between you and God alone. God says, when you come in there, you will abide in me. Because I will tell you. And you will deal with those things. And I will help you to deal with those things. And it says, remember, the first job of the branch is to rest. Rest in the vine. When the branch is rested in the vine, the life will start flowing. Allow the life to life of Christ will always bear fruit. That is the nature of that life. The nature of the life. And you need to realize this. This is our struggle. This is our struggle. You know, Sunday mornings, it's a struggle for me as a pastor. Because I will ask Lord, Lord, I need somebody today to pray. And you may think there are so many people in the church, right? It's not easy to get somebody who is in the secret place. While worship is going, I'll quietly go and ask one, will you pray today? First they will say yes. And then they will say no. And they will say, I haven't prayed for 5 days. And they will say, I haven't prayed for 3 days. And they will say, I haven't prayed for 7 days. Thank God there is fear. If I haven't prayed for 5 days, how can I come on Sabbath and pray before the church? Look back and see. Did we spend time before God? Did we spend 1 to 1 before God? Did he find this in this secret place? Scripture tells very clearly God is always in his secret place. Meaning, if you dial God's number, it will never be busy. There are signs. Never busy. God says, I'm always. You two have to be in this secret place. Then we will talk first. First, one to one. And then, when we have talked, out, you will know what to do. He says, you're confused about what to do. I'm doing all this work and totally anxious and unhappy because you are not found in the secret place. When you come daily to the secret place, you are abiding in me. When you abide in me and I abide in you, God says, you will bear fruit. You will bear fruit. And we don't have to worry about fruit. Do you think the branch worries about the fruit? The branch doesn't worry about the fruit. The branch has to only think about one thing. I need to be attached to the vine. That's the only thing that it has to. This portion where I am attached to him, I have to be attached to him. And I have to die to my old life. And his life has to flow. That's all we have to do. The fruit will come. It will automatically come. Jesus said, remember, when the gardener comes, he comes looking for only one thing. He comes looking for what? Fruit. He says, the first year he came, found no fruit. Second year he came, found no fruit. Third year he came, found no fruit. And he said, let me cut it down. What did Jesus say? He says, no, give it one more year. One more year. He says, one more year. You know, the third day, scripture talks about the third day. On the third day you will come back. And I will bind you. And I will restore you. And you will bear fruit. If you don't bear fruit in the third year, you get one more year. That is the fourth year. At the end of the fourth year, you study scripture, it's the end of everything. 1,000-year rule of Jesus is also over. After that, everything is made new. The fourth year, for 1,000 years, humanity is given to live right in Jesus, they still will not bear fruit. And scripture says, when Satan is released, they will go against Jesus. That's when fire comes down and destroys all of them. Why? Because in the fourth day also they did not bear fruit. But God says to us, he says, you have been grafted into the true vine. You can bear fruit in the first year. You can bear much fruit in the second year. You can bear even more fruit as you That's what scripture says. The righteous are like trees planted by the riverside. They keep on bearing fruit. All season they bear fruit. We are planted in the true vine. And the Holy Spirit is the river. And he says, if you allow me to flow, this is the primary work of the Holy Spirit. Everybody wants the gifts. He will freely give the gift. That is not the important thing. Just let me tell you, when he comes, he is not going to judge us by the gifts. He is going to only judge us by our fruit. The fact is this, we are very aware of our lack of gifts or the gifts we have. Either we are proud of our gifts or miserable we don't have gifts. God says, think about the fruit. Do we grieve over our lack of fruit? Do we grieve over the fact that after so many years we still haven't got over our anger? That our lack of love, unforgiveness. Go through the list, lack of self-control. God says, oh, this we should be breaking our hearts. Because He comes to look for that. And He said 2000 years ago, I broke my body, bear this. So salvation is not without purpose. The purpose of salvation is that we bear fruit. That is the purpose of salvation. It is not just to take us to heaven, but that we would bear fruit. We check our fruit and ask Holy Spirit, show Lord, where I am lacking. Because another Resurrection Sunday is coming. The very nature of the resurrection life is it produces fruit. Fruit to the glory of the Father. Shall we pray? Father, this night, when as we are in your presence, we just thank you, Lord. Oh Father, we thank you. Help us to rest. Rest in you, Lord. To be still in you. Labor to enter that rest. So that we understand the purpose of our life. The purpose is not works first, but to be fruitful. That even in our works we have to be fruitful. If our works are done without the fruit of the Holy Spirit, then those works won't be counted. It will be just burned up by the fire of judgment. Oh Father, help us, Lord, to surrender daily. Young and old to be found in that secret place where we spend time before Thee, where we hear from You, where Your Holy Spirit checks us, where Your Holy Spirit corrects our walk, where the Holy Spirit empowers us to change, that You would bring fruit that would bring glory to Your name. Thank you, Father. As we go, pray Your presence would be there with each one of us. Keep speaking to us, O Lord, in those secret hours, in that secret place. Speak to each one of us. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.